finish up a study that we started last week. Most of what I gave you last week was the bad news, and I did end it with some good news. I didn't want to just tell you what God's punishment and judgment was if you covered your sin. I wanted you to know that God is, well, He's forgiving, and God wants to forgive our sin. But God just doesn't forgive our sin without us taking some course of action in order to have our sin forgiven, and we'll talk about that tonight. I'd like for us to read Proverbs 28, verse number 13, and then after we read this, we'll do a little bit of review, and then I'll get into tonight's message on how to confess your sin. How to confess your sin. So that's easy. Well, let me reword that then. How to biblically confess your sin. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the word, and I pray, God, you'd help us as we look into your word, and I pray you would give us wisdom from your word. Help us to learn truth that would draw us closer to you, in Jesus' name. Amen. You have your Bible open to Proverbs 28. Look at verse number 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. And I told you last week that no harm to the scripture if I were to say he that does not cover his sins shall prosper. That's the other side of that statement. God is saying, I want to prosper you. But if you cover your sin, you're not going to prosper. Now, when you look at prosper in the Bible, it speaks of more than material prosperity. It speaks of the blessing of God on your life. It's God prospering your way. It's you, well, walking in the way that God has mapped out for your journey so that you can receive the blessings along the way. So if you cover your sin, you're not going to get those blessings in life. But if we'll confess, Proverbs 28:13 says, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Well, those are imperative statements. If you cover your sin, there's no doubt about it. You will not prosper. If you confess and forsake, there's no doubt about it. You will receive mercy. And I'm thankful for that truth. Or those truths in this verse of scripture. Now, I want you to turn to Psalm 51, and I'll give you just a little bit of a backdrop by way of review. I ran across an old statement that we're all familiar with. You finish this. To err is human. To forgive is divine. You're going to sin. Now listen, I'm not in any way advocating that you take it lightly. But you do need to understand that when you do sin, not if you do sin, when you sin, you need to confess your sin to God. You say, well, shouldn't that just come natural? Well, it doesn't. The flesh wants to justify sin. The flesh wants to argue that it is sin or that it's not. The flesh, from the very beginning, covers sin. But when we get saved, as we shall see in our study tonight, God has given us someone who will expose our sin. We have a witness on the inside that tells us, hey, you have sinned. And so there will remain no doubt. When you get saved, the Spirit of God comes to dwell within you. And as believers, God will expose our sin to us. And as God exposes sin in my life and in your life, It is our responsibility to confess our sin. To err is human. To forgive is divine. Someone said many years after that statement, to err is human, and to cover is human also. We try to cover our sin. Do you have covered sin in your life? Do I? Is there something in your life that you haven't confessed? Is there something in your life you're not willing to admit or to acknowledge that it is sin? Has God spoken to you about something? And you're wrestling with God and arguing with God. It's not wrong, or I'm justified in feeling this way. Well, I hope you'll listen very carefully tonight, because the Bible has a lot to say about confessing our sin. And if we had just this verse of Scripture alone, we know, well, it doesn't turn out well for people who cover their sin. We have many biblical examples. If you recall last week, we looked at Psalm 51, and I want to just kind of go down through Psalm 51, and I'll just mention these things. We said, first of all, that when we cover our sins, as David covered his sin, that it dirties the soul. If you'll notice, he said two times in verse number 2, he said, "Wash me thoroughly for mine iniquity, and from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin." Wash me. Cleanse me. I'm dirty. Spiritually, I'm dirty. And I need cleansing. Then not only does it dirty us in our soul, but it dominates our mind. Notice, if you would, in verse number 3. "For I acknowledge my transgression." Look at this statement. "And my sin is ever before me." You just couldn't get away from it. You know, it nagged at him. And when we as believers have unconfessed sin in our life, it just nags at us. It may interfere with our sleep, our train of thought, the way we treat people, our disposition. Sin can make us curt or irritable when it's unconfessed. It can make us mean-spirited and even critical in our spirit when we will not confess our sin. Not only that, it not only dominates the mind, but it says in verse 8 and verse number 12 that it depresses the heart. Look at verse number 8. He said, "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may" what? "Rejoice." David had lost his joy. Look at verse number 12. He said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." You know, David had a hard time, didn't he? He lost his joy. Doesn't unconfessed sin that we try to cover and sin that we try to justify in our life, doesn't it have a way of just zapping the joy out of us? Doesn't it? "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine." We saw that when we were studying about our heart and how we need to keep it clean. A merry heart. So don't do away with your medical need. You need a merry heart. I need a merry heart. It's good for us. I wonder if, as you sit here tonight, do you have a merry heart? Do you? I hope that you do. You know, Christians ought to be merry hearted. We are. We're to have the joy of the Lord. It's our strength. It's fruit of the Spirit. And so I trust that you know what it is to have continuous joy, and there is pleasures at God's right hand. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 5, "Rejoice evermore." He said in Philippians chapter 4, he said, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. Christians should be joyful people. Now listen, I understand their sorrow. I understand it. I could take some time and talk with you about sorrow and guilt. What's the difference between sorrow and guilt? Sorrow is a clean wound. When you study the Scripture, sorrow is a clean wound. It's natural to experience sorrow. The Bible says that we do sorrow. But now, we do not sorrow as others which have no hope. But we do sorrow. There's things in life that cause us to sorrow. And it's a clean wound. And I'm thankful that God can can minister to us, because sorrow doesn't necessarily mean that our fellowship is broken with God. Guilt, however, is not a clean wound. Guilt is a response to an unclean or an ungodly action, usually an unconfessed. Guilt is brought about through conviction. Guilt is brought about through a denial of sin or an not wanting to confess it. And so we feel guilt, and it's unclean. Guilt makes us feel unclean, makes us feel dirty. Not only that, but the scripture says this in verse number 8, it says it diseases the body. Look what he said, that the bones, the latter part of verse 8, the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. You know, someone has said that unconfessed sin is to our whole being like sand is to machinery. It just wears the bearings out. It just gets us in a decrepit, in a worn out state. Sin will just wear you out, won't it? Sin's a terrible thing, brethren. I hope you hadn't forgotten what sin will do. Even in your life as a believer, in my life as a believer, sin must be dealt with. It must be dealt with. God takes sin in the life of a believer very serious. And God's not going to wink at our sin. He's not going to excuse it. Now, he will forgive it if we will uncover it, if we will confess it. But if we cover it, God's going to bring judgment. And that unconfessed sin will bring, it'll just bring a lot of negative things into our lives. And I don't want you to experience that. And I don't want to experience that. And God doesn't want us to experience that. But if we insist on living a life where we have continuous, unconfessed, unforsaken sin in our lives, God will deal with it. Notice, if you would, not only does it bring disease in the body, but it also defiles the spirit. And I started to go into, and I mentioned this, what psychosomatic illness is. Remember when we talked about the heart? It's real. Listen, psychosomatic sin that deals with the soul and deals with the body, the mind, it's very real, brethren. There are people that are sick because of sin. And so I hope that you understand that. Sin will just, it'll take your joy, it'll take your strength, it'll take your health, it'll take your wealth. Read the book of Proverbs. Sin destroys. And so I trust that if you don't get anything else, that you will be reminded of this terrible thing called sin that will invade your life and will begin to just strip away at everything that God intended for us to be as Christians. It'll just weaken us, and it will begin to destroy. It's destructive, and it's damning. And I pray that if there's anyone sitting under the sound of my voice tonight, that you have been deceived into believing that you can sin and get by, that it's okay, that God understands, quote-unquote, or that it's not going to have an adverse effect on your life, you will understand the Bible says differently. The Bible says that sin destroys, sin is destructive, and it comes with a price attached to it. And it doesn't matter if you're a preacher, a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, whether you've been saved 40 years or 4 days, sin has consequences, and God holds us accountable. And so he said, listen, if you cover your sin, you will not prosper. You will not enjoy the blessing of God on your life. You will not enjoy the thing that God has and the prosperity of your life. Not just, again, materially, but as a whole, as a believer, the blessings of the Lord. Notice what else he said. He said, not only will it disease the body. In verse number 10, it defiles the spirit. Look at it. Create in me a clean heart, verse 10, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. I don't know if I said this last week, but I'll say it again if I did. You know what happens when we try to cover our sin?
I've watched it in people. They immediately look around, and it can happen to any of us, and we try to find sin in other people's lives, not so we can minister to them, not so that we can help them, but so we can use it to justify our own sin. And so we try to uncover their sin because we're covering ours. And we want to make ourselves feel better about ourselves because of our unconfessed sin. And so we try to uncover, like a Pharisee, someone else's sin to be damaging to them instead of what we should do. The Bible says when we've seen someone overtaken, when we've seen a brother that has fallen, when we see someone that has gotten off track, our heart ought to be to restore them and to help them. But when we are covering sin in our lives, that is not our approach. We take the approach of we want to uncover everyone else's sin, so our covered sin and our own weak minds will not be as noticeable. And so David said this. He said in verse number 10, he said, "Renew a right spirit in me." He had a bad spirit. Can I ask you a question? How is your spirit? Do you check on your spirit regularly? Do you do a self-check and see how your spirit is? Is your spirit in tune with God's word? Is my spirit? Is our spirit right? Do we have to ask God, "God, renew in me a right spirit"? I don't want a critical spirit. Listen, if you have a critical spirit, if you're always finding the bad in things, you need to check your spirit. I understand there's bad in things. There's bad in all of us. Amen? There's bad in all of us. Amen? But what good is it to go around pointing it all out? If you do not are not trying to help someone, why would you even go there? Could it be because you have a bad spirit? And could it be because you have covered sin that you are not willing to confess? I don't know. I know what happened with David. He got in a bad way. Sin affected every area of his life, as it will you and me. Let me give you a couple more, and then we'll get to the antidote, the answer. It destroys our witness. Verses 12 through 15, he talks about he will teach transgressors. And verse number 15, he said, "Open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise." He had quit praising the Lord. He had quit witnessing. He lost his burden for people. You see, when you have a wrong spirit, that makes you have an attitude instead of a burden. As Christians, I pray that I would, as a Christian, I pray that I would be noted more for my burden for people instead of my attitude toward them. And so David just had a bad attitude. And then lastly, I saved the worst for last. You know, sometimes we say, "I saved the best for last." I saved the worst for last. Look, if you would, in verse number 4. He said, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." When we do not confess our sin, it dishonors the Lord. When we cover our sin, it comes out in all these ways, and we're not a testimony for the Lord. We're not a light. We're not salt. We have a bad spirit, and we carry ourselves in a unbecoming way. And so this is how it affected David. But you know what? David was a man after God's own heart. He loved him. And you can love God and get in a bad way in a hurry. And I can love God and get in a bad way in a hurry when I'm not willing to confess and deal with sin in my life. And so how are we going to do that? Well, if you'll notice in Psalm 51, the Bible says that David, this was a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet came to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. As we go back to Proverbs 28, I want to give you a few things I hope will help you about confessing your sin. There's three things I'd like to talk to you about. You say, "Isn't it easy just to confess your sin, Pastor? I mean, isn't that easy?" Well, you know what? I don't know. I think if it was that easy, we probably wouldn't be having this conversation out of the Bible. Adam and Eve struggled with it. Abraham struggled with it. David struggled with it. We could go right on down the line. And so I would say you probably do from time to time, and I do as well. So what are we going to do when we sin and we try to justify it, or we're trying to cover it up, trying to hide it? What do we need to do? Well, I think the first thing is that we need to understand that every man is righteous in his own eyes, right? I mean, we think more highly of ourselves than we ought, and so we need someone to expose our sin. David was going right along, and he knew what he had done, but he wasn't ready to deal with it until God sent Nathan to him. And you remember what happened. Nathan gave him a little parable. He said, what do you think ought to happen to a man like that? He said, I think he ought to be, I mean, he just, you know, boy, just wring him out, right? I mean, just wreck him over the coals. And he said, really? He said, because thou art the man. You're the one. We're always harder on other people's sin than we are our own. And so what am I going to do? I'm glad that God has given me the Holy Spirit. So I want you to write this down. The first thing we need to do with sin in our lives is we need to confess it. We need to confess our sin. And I'm glad that God has given the Holy Spirit to expose it. So when God exposes sin in my life, I need to confess it. Now, how does that work? John chapter number 16, Jesus said this. He said, the Holy Spirit has come to reprove of sin. The word reprove means convict or convince. That's what it means. And so when I sin, when you sin, as believers, when we sin, God will put his finger on that sin and say, that is not right. You lied. You were dishonest. You had a rotten attitude toward that person. Does God do that to you? He does to me. God tells me when I do wrong. He does to you. He does you too if you're saved. And then we have a decision to make. We're either going to side with God, agree with God. By the way, that's part of the word confess. It's an acknowledgement. God, you're right. I'm wrong. I sinned. And it's not his fault. It's not her fault. It's me, Lord. It's me. I'm in the wrong here. And then we have a decision. Am I going to confess it as sin? Am I going to agree with God? Am I going to acknowledge I've sinned? And God, I want you to forgive me. Forgive me for my sin. And if we will do that, then we're on the way of getting confession. We're on the way of having forgiveness. Take your Bible just for a moment and turn to Psalm 139. In Psalm 139, David again, at a different time, knew how to deal with sin. He tried to cover sin, and he's seen how it brought destruction and hardship and heartache and guilt, and it was just destroying him. And then there was a time when David got to this point in his life. Psalm 139, notice if you would in verse number 23, very familiar. Many have this passage memorized, but I want you to look at it and read it with me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. God, search me. I don't want sin in my heart and life. If I've wronged somebody and I've tried to cover it, then God, expose it in my life. God, make it real to me. Let me know what I have done is wrong. If you're teetering on something, you know, you've sinned and you're trying to justify it. If you're going around asking people, do you think it's a sin to do thus and thus? It probably is. You're just looking for somebody that will agree with you so you can feel better about the sin you've committed. Now, I'm not saying that all the time it is. There's ignorance. But here's an approach to sin, okay? The Holy Spirit of God will expose sin in my life. The devil will exploit sin. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means when God points out sin in my life, please don't miss this. It's not sin that's being confessed or uncovered. God points out unconfessed, covered sin in my life. The devil will try to point out sin that has been forgiven. And he'll try to exploit it and say, well, God didn't forgive you. And he'll try to get me discouraged about that. And he'll try to get you defeated by bringing up past sin that's already been confessed. And that's the difference that we have to deal with in our mind, in our heart, in our lives as believers. Because when I confess my sin, the Bible has clearly said that God is faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and to cleanse me of that sin. And so if that comes back up, then that's evil, brethren. That's not the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God will convict me of that sin. He will reprove me of that sin. And he will remind me of what I need to do in confessing that sin. But when I confess, God forgives. It's done. Amen. But then the devil comes. See, the Spirit of God will expose it and say, hey, you've sinned. And then when I confess it, God forgives it. I need to move on. Am I talking to somebody here tonight that you're having a problem moving on from something that you've already been forgiven for? Let me just tell you now, you need to stand up against that in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you. You need to plead the blood of Christ, and you need to do like Jude did. Get thee behind me. The Lord rebuke thee, Satan. In the name of Jesus, I'm pleading the blood of Christ. I have been forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you will not make me feel guilty for sin that Jesus has forgiven me for. Amen. He will do that if you allow him to. So while the Spirit of God exposes sin, the devil, the enemy, will exploit and try to make us feel guilty and weak and unworthy and defeated. And don't you let the devil do you that way now. Don't you let the devil do you that way. You plead the blood of Jesus. You claim the truth of the Scripture. God has said he would forgive you. He even said in Hebrews 8, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Amen. And so move on from it. Yes, there's an accuser of the brethren. I'm not talking about that. When Satan comes, he accuses. The Holy Spirit of God convicts. There's a difference. He says, you need to get this right. Now, once it's right, then Satan comes along. And he'll try to hold that sin over my head or over your head. And you need to claim the blood of Jesus and the victory over forgiven sin. So I hope you'll write this down. Number one, sin must be exposed. And I'm glad God has given us a witness on the inside, aren't you? I'm glad God has given me the witness on the inside. I'm thankful that the Spirit of God shows me when I do wrong, when I sin. And now it's up to me. And I need to do the right thing. I need to make the right choice and confess that sin to God and acknowledge it. God, I've sinned. There's no need trying to hide it. There's no need trying to justify it. God, I confess it. You're right. I'm wrong. I did it. It's me. It's not my brother. It's not my church. It's not my preacher. It's not my spouse. It's me, Lord. I did it. I willfully chose to do this, and I'm sorry. Forgive me. Boy, it's hard for us, isn't it? It's hard for us. But I tell you right now, it's rewarding. It's rewarding. It's needful. So number one, it has to be exposed, and the Spirit of God will expose. Now, again, I cannot overstate this. The Spirit of God will only expose unconfessed sin. All right? If you've confessed it and had forgiveness and you're dealing with it, that's not God's Holy Spirit. Because you're forgiven. That's the devil. You say, well, preacher, I confessed my sin and I was sincere. I did. I confessed and I asked God to forgive me, and I'm still dealing with it. Well, listen, you need to claim the blood of Jesus. You need to claim the truth of the scripture, and you need to tell the devil in the name of Jesus, get gone. Get behind me. Now, you have no power, but in the name of Jesus you do. Amen? Amen. Second thing, sin must be expressed. Be specific. Don't. Now, God, forgive me of all my sins today. Don't do that. Don't do that. Now, I'm going to sing you a little song. Man, some people woke up. Amen. I'm not going to sing you a song. I'm going to remind you of a song. Count your many blessings. Name them what? Count your many blessings and see what God... It will surprise you what God hath done. Now, let's change the words a little bit. Count your many sins. Name them one by one. Count your many sins, and it will surprise you what you have done. There is something about just grouping it all up and throwing it to the throne of grace. Say, God, just forgive me of all my sin. It'll have you and me taking a very light view of sin. We'll think we're not that bad. I tell you right now, if we would log our sin the way we do our blessings and the way we do our prayers, we would feel different about ourselves. We're not as good as we think we are. And so when you confess your sin, could I encourage you to name it? God, I'm sorry. I had a bad spirit toward that person today. They did nothing to deserve that. That's me. I was in a foul mood, and I had no sense talking to that person that way. God, please forgive me. Forgive me for that. Nothing but a bad attitude, Lord. Just please help me to have a better attitude. And then you go along, depending on how your day's going, might be 2 minutes later. God, forgive me. You know, I shouldn't have had that thought. God, please forgive me. I'm sorry. Later on in the day, God, forgive me. I was dishonest with that person. I felt intimidated, and I felt like I had to say this instead of the truth. And God, I'm asking you to forgive me. And I'll make it right with them. So that's the way you deal with sin in your life. Amen? Some of you looking at me like, I don't know if I'm going to deal with it that way or not. Well, you're going to lose your joy if you don't. Listen to me now. You're not going to prosper if you do not deal with sin biblically. I'm going to give you an illustration here in just a moment, and we'll close, okay? So name your sin. Confess it. Confess it. It must be exposed. It must be expressed. If you've gossiped, well, God forgive me, I gossiped, and I'm sorry. Sometimes you just have to go to a person and say, listen, I said something about you I shouldn't have said. It's a moment of weakness, and I got caught up, and you know what? I want to tell you I'm sorry. You say, well, preacher, I can't do that. They wouldn't feel the same about me. Well, who are you more concerned about feeling about you, them or God? There's just time we need to tell people. You want to quit doing the same sin over and over? Deal with it thoroughly. One of the reasons that we keep going back to the same things over and over and over, we're not dealing with it biblically. We're not being thorough in our confession. And then I want to close with this. Are you in Proverbs 28? No, you're probably in Psalm 139. Turn to Proverbs 28, and I'm going to give you an illustration, then I'll be done tonight, okay? In Proverbs 28, notice what he says, and I hope this has helped somebody. I do. Brethren, sin will rob us of God's blessing on our life. It'll cut off a supply. It'll take our joy from us. It'll take a burden from us. We'll walk around with an attitude instead of a burden, of chip on our shoulder, instead of a burden in our heart. It'll adversely affect the way we treat the brethren and our view that we have toward the lost. And we'll just be kind of existing instead of living. Sin does that to people. All right? And it'll do it to you, and it'll do it to me. In Proverbs 28, let's look at it one more time. In verse number 13, he says this, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper." And so please remember that. But, thank God for the rest of this verse, "whoso confesseth," and by the way, we know about the TH words, okay? There's a continuous action. You just have to confess as you sin. "He that confesseth," but that's not where it ends, "and forsaketh." You have to confess, but then you have to forsake. Now listen, Jesus didn't tell the woman of the well. I want you to be turning to Exodus. Exodus chapter 9. Jesus didn't tell the woman of the well, "Go and sin some more." You know, I think some people read it that way. You know, "Woman, where art thou? Those thine accusers." "There are none. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." God expects us to get these things right. And so, you have to confess. You have to be thorough. I have to be thorough. It can't just be nonchalant. "Oh, yeah, by the way, yeah, God, I'm sorry, then just forgive me." Amen. Listen, you're just setting yourself up for failure, and it's not God. God wants to see a broken heart, a contrite spirit. God wants to see our hearts broken because of our sin. In Exodus chapter number 9, I want you, and I understand about Pharaoh. Okay, I know Pharaoh wasn't saved. But I want you to see how you feel about this confession here. We have a confession out of Pharaoh. How do you feel about this confession? Look, if you would, in Exodus 9, verse 27. "And Pharaoh sent," are you there? Exodus 9, verse 27. "And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked." Wow. What in the world brought that on? Humanly speaking, the most powerful man on the face of the earth in that time. We would have heard that and said, "Boy, that Pharaoh, he is really, God is dealing with his heart. He is really serious this time." Go back to verse 22. The Bible had said in verse 22, "And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thine hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, upon man, upon beast, and every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail, and the fire mingled with hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast, and the hail smote every herb of the field and brake every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail." I think God got Pharaoh's attention, don't you? Yeah. And so he said, oh, bring them in. Bring Moses, bring Aaron. We really messed up this time. We've sinned. God is righteous, and we're just sinners, and y'all are right. He said, "Well, Pharaoh, he's about as sorry as they come doing that." Well, now don't you treat your sin like that. Going along through life, and you know that there's something not right in your life, maybe many things, and all of a sudden an adverse situation, a crisis situation, and God reminds you of your unconfessed sin, and then you say, "Oh God, I'm sorry, if you'll just make this right, if you'll just help this person, if you'll just get me out of this mess, God, you're right, God, I'm sorry, and listen, I understand crisis praying, I understand that. Usually it's not real. It's not. You know what Pharaoh did? Look at verse 34. "And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart, he and his servants. So, what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that you have to forsake your sin. There has to be a willingness to turn from your sin. A biblical confession will always bring an attitude of forsaking of sin. God be my helper. Say, preacher, have you ever sinned, confessed it, and then did it again? Yes. Yes. Yes, I have. I've even cried before the Lord and said, God, I feel so ashamed that I am. Here I am again. Here I am again. Same thing. God, I'm sorry. What am I doing wrong, Lord? What's your attitude toward repetitive sin? What's my attitude? What's our attitude toward sin, period? Well, as we stand to our feet, I want to encourage you a couple of things, and then we'll close in prayer. Number one, please understand, if you cover your sin, sooner or later, God is going to uncover it. Okay? Because we cannot sin and get by. And so don't cover your sin. You say, well, preacher, I got by with it. No, you haven't. No, you haven't. That's a lie of the devil. You have not gotten by with it. You will not get by with it. God loves me too much, and he loves you too much to let us continue in sin. So confess your sin, all right? And only you know where you stand before God. Number two, when you confess your sin, move forward. Move forward. Don't let the devil drag you down. Don't let his lies and accusations keep you in a place of defeat and feeling unworthy, defeated, worthless. You claim the forgiveness of God in your place in Christ. You are accepted in the Beloved. God has forgiven you, and you move on and serve God with your life. Amen? Take your faith to the next level. Let God work in your heart. And then finally, if you're struggling with something over and over again, there is a disconnect somewhere. And you need to let the Holy Spirit of God put his finger on that. It may be an environment that you are repeatedly exposing yourself to. It may be an individual. It may be, it could be a number of things. It may even be a mechanism. It could be a media outlet. I don't know. I know this. I know that it's not God's will for us to stumble on the same old campfires and to keep coming across the same old thing over and over again. God wants me to have victory over sin in my life, and he wants you to have it too. And if you need to, you get with someone and you say, listen, I need you to help me be accountable, and I need you to pray with me. I need some help. Don't you allow that continuing sin to enslave you and rob you of all that God has for you. Please, please, don't do that. Let's bow our heads together.